Welcome back in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bubka. So darn proud to be here with Mr. STL Golf Geek himself, Jay Randolph Jr. Well, Innisbrook, well, it proved it's still a tough nut to crack, Jay.
Yeah, you know, the scoring was a little better this year in previous years. And I think part of that is that tournament's been played in March. And the weather's a little different. The ball travel's a little different. So I thought it was interesting to see the scoring a little bit better. But it's always a good test. And we certainly have a breakthrough type of win.
Yeah, certainly. He becomes the fourth first-time winner this season. But really no surprise. We're talking about 24-year-old Sam Burns, played for LSU, actually played junior golf with David Thompson Carter. He basically grew up knowing how the professional game works, and his composure and poise showed up big time during the final round at the Valspar Championship. In fact, Jay, let's hear Sam's assessment of his winning play at the Valspar.
Before I won, I really thought that I just needed to play so well, and I needed to do everything perfect. I couldn't make a mistake, and that's just not true. I think I just knew that if I could put the ball in the right spot with the golf course playing difficult, that I was putting it well enough that I liked my chances. And so for me, it was just managing the golf course, managing my ball around the golf course, and putting ourselves in the right spots. You know, this week, I just felt so much more confidence with what the golf ball was doing and the control that I had. We knew that we had the control that we wanted, and you don't get that very often. It's something we're always searching for out here, and so just to have that little bit of confidence today was big. I think as a kid, just being on the putting green when you're 10 or 11 years old and like, oh, I have this putt to win whatever tournament. And I can just remember hitting that putt so many times, and you wanted to have that opportunity so bad for so long, and now you do. So it's really special for me.
You know, I love hearing about Sam growing up, Jay, when his parents said, we could send you away to summer camp if you won. And Sam said, you know what, Mom and Dad, how about this? Drop me off at the golf course 7 in the morning, come back 7 at night, pick me up, I'll be just fine. That's the kind of attitude, Jay, you need now to win on the PGA Tour.
And as you said, not necessarily a surprise. When you look at the fact that kind of sandwiched in between Jon Rahm being number one on the amateur side and then Colin Morikawa being the number one player on the amateur side, this guy was in the middle. In terms of years and in terms of players, along with Mav McNeely and a couple of others. He was the best college player in 2016, 2017. But this took it to another level. And I think, you know, as he said, he felt like he had to play. And when you get out there with those type of guys, you feel like you got to play flawless. But as he gets more tournaments under his belt, more understanding, more of a way of the world, if you will. I mean, you know, don't be surprised if you know, this summer or at one of the majors or maybe even in 2 weeks we're talking about Sam Burns at a major championship, because that's what a W can do, especially against such a good field, Bob.
Yeah, no, you're right, Jay. And, you know, he just hits it so far, so straight, and plays with a tremendous amount of confidence. That's what really stands up as far as I'm concerned when we look at Sam Burns' game.
Well, that's what you and I have talked about a lot over the last couple of years. You know, we knew a lot of guys that when they came on tour in the mid-'80s and early 90s, their goal was to keep their card. I mean, that's, you know, and that's what they were working towards. Not these guys, not these young players. I mean, it's about the W and the trophy and the cash. It's a different mentality, and we see it. You look at the guy that finished tied for third, Vic Hovland, who was also right there as one of those top amateurs a little bit later after Mr. Burns, and Vic has one of the best rounds on Sunday and vaults himself way up. And, you know, he goes from ninth to third, gets that third place finish. That's a guy that we keep talking about, the next guy to be one of the elite players if he's not already. And Keegan Bradley, I really thought it just seemed like, you know, one of those weeks, the week before kind of a bigger event at Wells Fargo and the PGA, and it just, this was the perfect fit. And for 54 holes, or really for, you know, when you look at it, 68 holes, it looked like it would be his. But, you know, with a mistake on 15, even though he was able to salvage it with an eagle on the 72nd hole that got him that solo second, it was nice to see him there. So it was another good tournament. There's no question about it, and it starts to build your momentum for this week and then the PGA at Kiowa.
You know, Jay, when we look back at what transpired on Sunday on that 15th hole, what did Keegan Bradley miss getting on dry land by? 3 or 4 feet and possibly could very well have been the difference between winning yep. and not winning.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's how, you know, close you skate out there and how one shot or one bad decision can cost you at the highest level, and it's magnified. There's no question about it. Congratulations to another guy who is Sam Burns now, and that's Cam Tringale. He just keeps knocking at the door. It was good to see JT getting a little work in before next week. It keeps him atop the FedEx guy. Right now he put him atop. He's tied for 13th, put him ahead of Bryson. Looks like they might be in a battle all year long for that top spot in the FedEx Cup point list.
Yeah, a couple of other players trying to keep their name in the headlines, Jay. Ian Poulter, Paul Casey, you know, they're both looking to get on that Ryder Cup that's going to be contested later on this season at Whistling Straits.
And, of course, Casey was looking for the triple, trying to win three in a row down there with last year being canceled. Poulter showed some good play in Florida. You forget how strong and how many guys are in the mix for that European Ryder Cup team. Those are two veterans who so badly would like to play on the team and make the team, not be a captain's pick. Dustin Johnson tied for 48. And you know what that means? That means nothing. I mean, that's okay. Don't worry about that. Phil Mickelson, who cited a lack of focus and ability to refocus as a problem as he's gotten older. Lefty missed the cut. Justin Rose, Danny Willett, Patrick Reed, and Gary Woodland all missed the cut. So those are some guys that, you know, you'll watch whether they're playing this week at Wells Fargo as we prepare for the PGA.
You know, Jay, what about Jimmy Walker? He had a first last week. He missed his tee time. Official found him on the range 1 minute to go until his 7:29 tee time. He couldn't get to the tee in time. Got a two-shot penalty, but managed to make the cut on the number. Finished tied 29th. Hard to believe a player in a big event like that would miss his tee time.
Stunning, really. I mean, you never hear about it unless maybe there's an accident or somebody decided to withdraw or whatever the case may be. It is very unusual, but like you said, hey, he not only made the cut, he finished tied for 29th.
Yeah, pretty good comeback. After that mishap.
Don't forget, if you'd like to drop us a line or give us your thoughts or opinion on the show, we'd love to hear from you. I'm STL Golf Geek on Twitter, while Bob, the VOG, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, VOG. Check us out on Twitter.
Well, let's move on to the PGA Tour champions. A very special victory to Mike Weir, Masters champion in the past, lost his way, has been battling back, and the asperity reduced to only 36 holes. But Mike Weir comes out on top. Quite a battle with John Daly.
Yeah, how about JD being in the mix? Maybe that 36 is much better than 54 for JD, but how about Weir? I mean, you know, this is a guy that fell off the face. I mean, he lost it and admitted he lost it. To have the wherewithal to regain it, come back, get a Champions Tour victory, which is going to be big for him, that's great. And a nice man, the former Masters champion who started that trend of lefties winning at Augusta. Good to see that, and good to see JD in the mix, no doubt.
Yeah, and man, Mike Weir becomes the fourth Canadian to win on the Champions Tour. And John Daly, he continues to inspire, Jay. He's in that battle with bladder cancer, not giving up. Boy, hit the ball a mile, had the fans going crazy there at Insperity. Almost came away with a victory. Just came up short on one of those approach shots that he thought was well clear of the water hazard, but it was about 3 yards short, and it spelled doom for the big cat, John Daly.
This week, Bob, there's all kinds of stuff. You got the Wells Fargo Championship. You've also got the historic Walker Cup, USA versus Great Britain and Ireland, all amateurs. And we'll get to see Seminole again, which is awesome. Playing at Seminole Golf Club May 8th and May 9th, Saturday, Sunday. The best amateurs from the U.S. against Great Britain and Ireland, and I know you love Seminole.
Oh, Seminole, you know, one of the great golf courses in the country. It's going to be a great Walker Cup. You know, a little bit of wind down there. Seminole will be all the players have to handle.
Well, you think about this, Bob. The last time the U.S. Walker Cup was played on U.S. soil, it was at National Golf Links. How'd you like to go from National to Seminole? But we know some guys that do that. That summer at National Golf Links and winter at Seminole. You gotta be real strong that way.
And no doubt about that. You know, Seminole's routing forces players to encounter a new wind direction on each hole. Only golf course I know that demands that amount of accountability.
Such a unique spot. That's one that I would truly make it a point to play if you ever get that privilege. I'll tell you what, my favorite golf course on the PGA Tour, other than major championship venues, is where they're going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. I love Quail Hollow Golf Club. Now, folks, it's a par 71. It's 75-21 with some legit rough often. Water hazards. I love the risk reward on this golf course. They've got two or three holes where you can take an opportunity, go for a par four green. It's just a good golf course, always well maintained. They're also in line to host the 2022 President's Cup, and then the PGA Championship will return to Charlotte for the 2025 Championship. Oddly, Bob, no player has ever defended his title at Wells Fargo. Max Homa will go for that. He won Genesis, of course, earlier this year in that fantastic finish. He's in great form. They were canceled last year. Max won back in 2019.
And this event is going to be big, extra big for some players. And I would put right at the top of that list, Rory McIlroy.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, at some point, you have to use his play as a barometer. And this will be the definition here. This is a golf course he likes, a golf course that suits him well. You know, and I'm not saying he's got to win the golf tournament or he's even got a fire, but he needs to make this cut and get four rounds under his belt and show us a little bit. And then I think if he does that, you know, he'll feel better, and we all will about the PGA. We mentioned Justin Thomas, now number one in the FedEx Cup rankings. The man he overtook is also in the field, Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, this is a really good field. Guys are using this as a prelude to Kiowa. There's no doubt about it, and why wouldn't you, since they're going to have hosted – two PGA championships in 10 years on their own. Will Zee, who still doesn't have a status, he did the following week after his win because he finished top 10. But, you know, he's playing on a sponsor's exemption, so he's going to be there. Mickelson will be there. Maybe his focus will be better. So this should be a lot of fun. I'll be honest, since the Masters, I haven't really been as excited, but this week gets me going.
One quick thing, Mr. Randolph, you know, so much noise was made following the 72nd hole at Augusta National, Hideki from Japan winning the first Asian player to win a major, and now it seems like he's disappeared.
I think they got him back in the homeland and said, "You ain't leaving." I don't know. I don't know what happened to Hideki-san. I don't know. Maybe he's playing the week before the PGA. Where is the week before the PGA? Is it Houston?
No, it's the Byron Nelson.
Byron Nelson. So they go back to Texas. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe Hideki's counting all that dough that we talked about. I mean, people were throwing out the B word, a billion. But, you know, you talk about a guy winning a major and being just hidden. It's him. And, Bob, before we go, a happy 73rd birthday to the Englishman Peter Oosterhuis, the grand European Tour player, longtime broadcaster for CBS Golf. He won 27 times worldwide, 4 order of merits on the European Tour, and he won once on the PGA Tour at the Canadian Open when it really meant something to win the Canadian Open. Not that it doesn't now, but it was a different situation then. 6 Ryder Cups, but Bobby was never on the winning side.
Yeah, you got a feel for Peter. Had many a media room that I shared some time with. Peter, one of the real good guys, and, you know, he's in a big battle now. He's turning 73 this week. We only wish him the best and hope he wins that battle with Alzheimer's. If anybody can, it'll be Peter Oosterhuis.
That's it for this week. As usual, we'll be back to next week to wrap up the Wells Fargo and take a look at Lord Byron's event, the AT&T Byron Nelson Classic, and then it'll be PGA Championship time. Take care. Bob and I'll be back with you next week.